Have you ever wondered what are elders? Every communion service, I believe next Sunday we'll have an evening service, a communion service, and you'll see eight men sitting up here at the front, and perhaps another elder will be sitting at the table, and they'll be looking solemn, and they'll quietly come by and serve you communion. You're asked occasionally in the bulletin to pray for them in their monthly meeting. What is it that they actually do? Well, Peter identifies himself as an elder, and he gives us, in our passage we're looking at this evening, a brief glimpse what it is that they are and what they are to be doing. Let me read that text for you again. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It's that first line of verse 2 that presents, very briefly here, the job description of an elder. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, that is your local church, exercising oversight. Now, everything else, the rest of the sentence, is admonition about the spirit, the manner in which elders are to carry out that work. And let's review them quickly here. First of all, we're told again in verse 2 that elders are to do the work not begrudgingly, but cheerfully. And I think all of us can appreciate that admonition. We all know how dreadful it is, isn't it, to be served by someone who does not enjoy what he is doing. And we certainly don't want that from our elders. And the second thing that they're told is they're not to take on this work with an eye for self-gain, but they're to do it with an eagerness for the good that they can do for others and for God's kingdom. Now, thirdly, they're not to get puffed up over their status. Now, that they get to be elders, they're not to lord it over others, but they're to be examples, just as Jesus was, of a humble and sacrificial spirit in the way they carry out their service for God's people. And this is all good instruction, isn't it? We want our elders to be cheerful, to be zealous, and to be humble. Now let's get back to that job description, though, what it is they do. Again, they're to shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. Shepherd the flock of God. And by the way, if you haven't already noticed, you see that one thing that's going through all of the hymns that have been selected for tonight, I don't know who selected them, but every one of them have reference to God or to Jesus being a shepherd. But anyhow, elders are to be shepherds, and their flocks are the people. Well, back in the Old Testament, New Testament perhaps, of their clan, of their tribe, or their nation. As in the New Testament, they're to be shepherds of their flock, which is their local church. Now, the origin of this term of elder and why, you know, elders, elderly people get to be the elders or whatever, it's pretty easy to understand, isn't it? I mean, an elder is literally a person of older years, and who more naturally is going to be the head of a family or a clan that then makes up tribes, then makes up a whole nation, than the older men. Okay? Now, the earliest references to elders in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 50. And there, Jacob has died. Joseph, his son, is taking his body into Canaan. And it says that he is accompanied by his brothers and by the elders of Egypt, and the elders of the Israel household. Now, it's really in that next book of Exodus that they come to prominence. We're told that Moses is before the elders of Israel, that he actually comes and announces God's deliverance. When he goes to Pharaoh, he brings elders with him. And when he leads the people, you know, through the Exodus and all that, it is with the elders. They are the representatives of the people, sort of. Now, I say sort of because of this. I mean, they do represent their people as being the heads of the people. But they actually have a greater duty to act as God's representatives. Now, Numbers 11, if you want to turn there, I don't know what page to tell you, but 16 following, it presents very insightful information about the elders. It presents actually their first commissioning service that we know of. Maybe you may call it their ordination service. And we're told again in Numbers 11, beginning in verse 16, then the Lord said to Moses, gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tent of meeting, and let them take their stand there with you. And I will come down and talk with you there. And I will take some of the spirit that is on you and put it on them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, so that you may not bear it yourself alone. Now, that's what we do in an ordination service. That's what we're enacting. When we're laying hands, we're enacting the placing of the Holy Spirit upon elders. Now, do you know what their first action was as ordained elders? It's recorded just a little bit later on. It says they prophesied. They acted as spokesmen for God. See, their first action was not to speak to God on behalf of their people. They should do that. But it is that they spoke to their people on behalf of God. They became his representatives. They became the judges. They were the interpreters of God's law. They were the ones to see that God's law was carried out, so that justice was enacted, so that the poor were provided for. It was upon them to keep religion pure. They were to be like shepherds, taking care of God's flock, just as Peter here instructs the elders of the church. Again, another thing to note here is that the flock is God's flock. Whether it be the nation of Israel under the Old Covenant, whether it be the church under the New Covenant, the flock belongs to God. And the elders serve as his shepherds under his authority. Now again, as I mentioned before, this is what ordination is all about. If you're back here on the fourth Sunday, I think we do it every January. We have commissioning of our elders, and if they haven't become elders before, we ordain them. Now, how did they get to be elders? Well, we recognize them as having the gifts to be elders. And so we elect them, believing that it is God, though, who is calling them to be the elders. And again, Dr. Reich will be here. He'll call up all other elders and say, come around and lay your hands upon these men. And they are doing just what was done back there in Numbers 11 and acting the Spirit of God coming upon these men. Now let's get back, though, again to what is it still that these elders, the shepherds of God's flock, actually do. Now to help us with this, we're going to look to another great document that is under the Bible, but that we who are elders have to look to for our guidance, and it's the Book of Church Order of our denomination. And if you were to go to chapter 8 in the Book of Church Order, which, by the way, you can. Those of you who know how to do Google, if you did Book of Church Order, PCA, it'll get you to that website, and you can actually read all the Book of Church Order, which I'm sure you are zealous to do. Anyhow, the description provides basically kind of three categories of things that elders do. And the first duties that are mentioned, you could categorize them as oversight. Remember, that's actually what Peter says, shepherd the flock of God, exercising oversight. Well, here's what the Book of Church Order says. It says it belongs to those in the office of elder, both severally, I looked that up, that means individually, and jointly, to watch diligently over the flock committed to his charge, that no corruption of doctrine or of morals enter therein. They must exercise government and discipline and take oversight not only of the spiritual interests of the particular church, so not only of 10th church, but also the church generally, so over all our denomination when they're called to do that. So what is it that the elders watching, what is it that they're watching out for as overseers? Well, again, it is that no corruption of doctrine or of morals get in here. You know, in his last meeting with the elders of the church in Ephesus, Paul gave this charge to the elders. It's in Acts 20. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. So the wolves that the church shepherds must guard against basically are persons who would lead people astray in doctrine and what they understand particularly about the gospel and in their morals, the way they live. And we had that beautiful rendition of Come Thou Fount sung this morning. It says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And we know that Christ gives his Holy Spirit to draw our hearts repeatedly back to him, and elders cannot take the place of the Spirit. Nevertheless, they're charged to do all that is in their power to protect the flock from false teaching and corrupting forces. There are elders listening to me right now. And if I speak what is false, they're going to come up to me afterwards and try to correct me. And if I keep on speaking what is false, they're going to pull me out of the pulpit and not let me back up here. Now, some of you might smile at this, but Paul did say, from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things. It happens in churches. So in overseeing the church then, the elders are looking and trying to protect their flock from false teaching, from the lures and temptations of the world kind of creeping in on the church. Now, they also, as overseers, they're told in the book of church order to exercise government and discipline. And this was done even in the early church, the church at Jerusalem, where the apostles were based and, obviously had to be the leaders of the church. We know that elders worked alongside of them exercising these duties. Acts 15 records a council meeting made up of apostles and elders who decide together whether the apostle Paul was giving appropriate teaching and what would be required of Gentiles coming into the church. Elders were a part of that, making that decision. So elders, one of the things they do, they are overseers. They provide oversight of the church. And then the second thing that they do is they provide pastoral care. The elders watch over the flock. They're protecting us. But more than just being those overseers, kind of watching out over there, over the church, they're in the midst of their sheep, providing care for them. And the best example that we get of understanding what it is that they do is in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34. And it provides a very extensive treatment of the duties of what would be shepherds, elders. And the context is God is condemning the elders, the shepherds, for what they were not doing. Now consider the criticism that's being made. It's again in Ezekiel 34, and I'll begin in verse 2. Thus says the Lord God, Ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat. You clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened. The sick you have not healed. The injured you have not bound up. The strayed you have not brought back. The lost you have not sought. And with force and harshness you have ruled them. God's answer to all this is that he himself is going to be the shepherd of the people. Later on in verse 15 he says, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. And I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost. And I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured. And I will strengthen the weak. Now, look here at what we learn about what shepherds are to be doing. They're to be feeding their flock. They're to be strengthening the weak in their flock. They're to be healing the sick. They're to be binding up the wounds of the injured and bringing back those who have strayed. They're to rule over the flock, but they're to do it with tenderness and kindness. And again, our book of church order tells us this. The elders should visit the people at their homes, especially the sick. They should instruct the ignorant, comfort the mourner, nourish and guard the children of the church. They should pray with and for the people, being careful and diligent in seeking the fruit of the preached word among the flock. Let's go back over there. Consider again what's been said the elders are to do. They're to visit their people. They're to go into their homes. If there are people in the hospitals or wherever they may be, they're to go to them. They're to read the word of God with them. They're to pray for their people. They're to encourage and lift them up. They're to get to know their people. So that their people may, whenever times are hard, they know that they can come to their elders. They're to instruct the ignorant. For those who are in despair because they don't understand the gospel, the elders are to explain that gospel to them. For those who are starting to divert and get away from the gospel, it's the elders who, again, to bring them back in line and help them understand the doctrines of the faith, what God's word is saying, teaching them. Those who are being lured by the temptations of the world and they're not thinking straight. The elders are to bring them back. Understand that fear of the Lord that was sung by a choir. They're to comfort the mourner, those who are grieving, those who have lost loved ones, those who have lost relationships, those who have lost their jobs, whatever anguish is going there, the elders are to come by alongside of them, lift them up and pray for them and with them and give them that encouraging word. And it's interesting how it brings notes here specifically about the children. They're to nourish and guard the children of the church. They're to care for God's little children and help them to grow in their faith, help them to know who the Lord is and the works of the Lord. They're to pray with and for the people. That's basically the most important work that they can do for you. Remember what the apostle said in Acts 6, and there was the creation of the office of deacon. Why? So that the apostles and so the elders can be devoted to the word of God and to prayer. So they can spend that time coming alongside their people. Did you know that we often do that here in the church? Well, no, not as often as we ought to do. Occasionally, more often though, we have to tell the person who perhaps is going through a difficult time, saying, would you like to have prayer with the elders? And I think just today, I saw an individual going up to where the elders get together for prayer and praying for healing and ask for the elders to gather around. And I know if I'm there, I usually put oil on them and we'll lay hands and pray. For our flock. So remember that. Any of you right now, remember that. So they are to provide pastoral care for their people. Now the third thing they're to do, and I suppose is the one that if we could just have it kind of not be in the book of church order, we would like that. But elders are called to set the pace for living as disciples. The book of church order says this: they should set a worthy example to the flock, entrusted to their care by their zeal. The first thing it says, to evangelize the unconverted and make disciples. All those duties which private Christians are bound to discharge by the law of love are especially incumbent upon them by divine vocation and are to be discharged as official duties. So when you have Dr. Reichen up here preaching convicting sermons about showing loving kindness, all the more the elders are supposed to show loving kindness. They are to share their shepherd's heart. They're to share the heart of Jesus Christ for the lost, and especially for the lost of their church, for that lamb that has strayed. And they cannot shirk their duty to be role models. It can't be like the athlete who says, well, I'm not a role model, or the entertainer, or even the politician who says, well, you know, I got my private life, and so on. The elder can't have that. He's to be a role model in the way that he lives, the way that he is a father, the way that he is a neighbor, the way that he is a worker in every aspect of his life. He's supposed to be a role model. So these are what your elders do. They shepherd you. They oversee all that's going on in the church. And they try to, as best they can, to live lives that you can look up to and respect. Now let me give just two brief lessons here. And first of all, to you elders who are sitting out there, whoever elders might be listening on the webcast, take heed to your calling. You are accountable before the Lord. Not to the people, but to the Lord. He has called you, he has raised you up, and he expects you to shepherd your shepherd his people. And I'd say this especially to those of you not serving on the session. I want to explain something here. You know, we have elders whom we elect, and we elect them here in the church for 3 years to serve on what we call the session. That's the board meeting, and they meet once a month and make decisions together as a board, as a session. Now, they can take a break from that. After 3 years or after 6 years, they can say, hey, I got things going on in my life right now. I need to take a break and then come back later on for that. Now, the tendency, what a lot of the elders kind of, well, not a lot, but I mean, what some elders may think is, I'm taking a break from being an elder. Well, let me say to all elders, there are no sabbaticals given to elders by God, by your Lord Jesus Christ. You can take a break from having to attend monthly meetings, but you can never take a break from shepherding your people. And you're to carry on that work. And you're to carry on that work together. Well, you know how difficult it is, everyone here, just to live your life, just to take care of yourself on your own. Imagine having the burden upon you to take care of others and be accountable before God. And we elders can't do it by ourselves. We need one another sharing that load. We need to encourage and build each other up. We need to be shepherding one another, so that we can all carry out our duties before the Lord. And then to the congregation, I guess Peter himself provides the admonition to you. It's in verse 5. Likewise, you who are younger, And spiritually, I suppose we'll say that's everybody here who's not an elder. Be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Now, he's giving you the key here. It's humility. I can tell you now, it's lack of humility that causes all the problems that there are. Now, I lead the new members class. Well, not they're all the class. I'm there at the beginning, as I was today when we had a first class. I'll be back at the end with the elders to listen to the testimonies of those wanting to join the church. There's five questions that everyone's asked to join the church. I can't remember exactly by heart. It's the fifth one. That's the catch. And the fifth one says, do you promise, what is it, to submit to the government of the church? Well, I said, well, do you know what the government of the church is? I said, yeah, hopefully by now they've learned that it's the elders. Do you know what you're really saying? None of them really do. Well, I can't say none of them do, because there are a good many who have been good church members for many years, and they do understand, but most don't. Most of everyone thinks submission to the elders is I do whatever the rules of the church are, and I be obedient. And that's it. But if you, elder, begin to stick your nose into my business, and if you begin to tell me what I can't do or what I ought to be doing and I don't agree with it, well, I'll go do what I want to do. Who are you, elders? Who are you? Well, they're your shepherds, appointed by God, whom they must give an account to watch over your souls. And again and again and again, I tell you as an elder, this is the toughest part of all of being an elder. And something more that we despair over this is when we know, we can see it happening, we see someone going astray. And we know what's going to happen. You know, we'll speak with them. And at the beginning, they're you know, oh, well, thank you for praying with me. But then once we start to say, no, you got to stop this. Well, I don't know that I can. And then we just don't see them anymore. They have decided that, well, no, I need to follow God in my own way, or I need to go find another church or whatever else. They won't stay in there. Why? Because I'm my own master. I am my own master. I'm my own shepherd. And so humility is what we need. If we're truly going to profit, those of you who are not elders, if you're going to profit from the shepherding, you got to have that humility. Now I want to close with a request. And that is this, pray for your elders. I tell you this, our frailties and our failures weigh heavily upon us. I was watching a movie the other day. I think it's called The Guardian. What's it? Kevin somebody. It's on there. And there are these lifeguard folks, and they go out and rescue people in the ocean. And Kevin, what's his name, is the hero, and he has his reputation, and everyone else kind of wondering, how many people has he saved? 200. Some people say 300. Some people think it's even 400. And you don't find out until you get near the end of the movie, and I forget what the other guy's name is. He says, come on, tell me, how many? And he says, I think it's 24. And the guy got, oh, wow, you know, that's okay. He said, that's how many I've lost. That's the only list I keep. Okay? And that's what weighed on him, as it ought to weigh on anyone who's the guardian of people's lives. We can tell you, if you were to come to us and we were to open up, I don't know if we would, but say, how many have you lost? How many times have you failed to keep a person? How many times have you failed to carry out your duties? and it weighs heavily upon us. You know, the writer in Hebrews says, obey your leaders and submit to them. Why? Because they're keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Okay? We know that. It's not to you we're giving an account to, it's to our God. And that weighs heavily upon us. So pray for us. We are weak, frail people. But I should close with this. As much as it is and at times can be a burden to us, it's also great joy. And there's particularly strength and a comfort and a particular joy that we have in this, that we know also that we have a shepherd. We have a good shepherd. We have a shepherd who laid down his life for us. We have a shepherd who is still here with us. And he's watching over our souls. And he's not going to fail. He's going to keep you. He's going to keep all of us other elders in his hands. And no one can take them away. Let's pray. We thank you, our God, our great shepherd, that you hold us in your arms as little lambs, that you bring us by into green pastures and by the still waters and you feed us and you take care of our wounds and you bind up our wounds and you heal us in our illness and you go after us and you bring us back time and time again. Thank you for our good shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. The shepherd who died for us, who laid down his life for us, but who lifted it up again. So that it's not a shepherd who once was there for us, but who is a shepherd who's here with us now. And he's not going to let us go. He's not going to forget us. Our Father, we do pray for the elders of our church. These men whom you have raised up, whom you have anointed with your Spirit, give them your strength and your blessing that they may carry out the work of their great shepherd, and that they can be that flesh, those hands, the voice that can be heard, and the shepherd that can be seen and can provide the comfort and the hope and the strength of our good shepherd. And watch over your flock. Take care of us all. However much we may stray, bring us back to you. We pray all this in our good shepherd's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.